people are taking vacations and they're on the road now. But for those of you that are here this morning, it's so good to have you with us. After listening to Jonathan's Bible class this morning, I'm very tempted to just sing the invitation song right now. Because he just went about almost over all of my sermon this morning, but that's all right. We'll go back and look at the same material again. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." In the text here, our life as Christians is described as a race that is meant to be run by laying aside all the weights and sin that so easily ensnares us and entangles us, and then by running with endurance all the way to the very close of the race. Going back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." What we're going to be studying in our sermon here this morning is how to run the race of Christianity to where we finish the race, to where we win the race, and ultimately are with God in heaven. We're going to break this sermon down into three different parts. For the first part of it, we're going to be talking to those of you that haven't obeyed the gospel yet. Those of you that have not begun the race of Christianity yet. And then in the middle of the sermon, we're going to be talking to you, those of you that have already begun the race. You're in the race. And what you can do right now while you're in the race to assure you that you finish it. And then we're going to close the sermon this morning by looking at those who are running the last mile of the way. But first, let's talk to those of you who are at the beginning of the race. In Luke 14, 28 through 31. "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" The reason I wanted to open this sermon with this particular verse is because I sincerely believe there are people in the world who honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who really believe in God and want to go to heaven. They believe in the crucifixion and the resurrection, and yet they do not obey the gospel. And the reason they do not obey the gospel is because they are overwhelmed and intimidated by the magnitude of the race of Christianity. Last week, Jonathan was talking about running a marathon. How would you feel if anyone came up to you and they said, "We expect you to run a marathon"? Okay, what's going to be your response? My response is, "You're talking to me? Seriously?" Because I'm not going to do that. You know why I'm not going to do it? I'm not even going to train for it. Because I already know right up front, I'm not going to finish it. So if I'm not going to finish it, why should I even begin it? Let me ask you, which is more overwhelming, which is more intimidating, running a 26-mile marathon or running the race of Christianity to where you are faithful to God all the days of your life, to where you didn't allow anyone or anything to cause you to quit running the race, whether it's physical trials, emotional trials, or spiritual temptations, but you continue to persevere and press on all the way to the close of your life? Wow, now that you describe it that way, yes, the race of Christianity is far more intimidating than a physical marathon. And just like we look at the physical marathon and we think, "I can't finish, so why begin?" We do the same thing sometimes with Christianity. We think it's just too much to be faithful to God till death. I'm not going to make it to the close of the race of Christianity, so why should I even begin? I sincerely believe there are a lot of people that will not obey the gospel because they are convincing themselves before they ever obey the gospel, "I'm not going to be able to finish this. So there's no reason in starting it." Luke 14:33 says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. I want you to understand Christianity is not a casual relationship with God, not at all. It is an all-consuming relationship with God, to where you lay aside all the weights, anyone, anything that is preventing you from running the race of Christianity, you will let them or it go. But serving God is not part of your life, it is your life. It is everything. And if you are not willing to forsake all, then right up front, you can't be his disciple. But 1 Corinthians tells us something in chapter 10 and 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond which you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now look at this text here. This is dealing with God and God and what he allows Satan to do. He allows Satan to tempt us. But God knows exactly where you are. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond which you are able. You can repent. You can change your life. You can change your heart and change your life. And there can be times in your life in the future when you are going to be tempted that you've given into in the past. But in the future, guess what? You say no. And you resist the devil. And you stand in the evil day. You can grow. You can repent and you can grow in your relationship with God to where you can resist temptations that you were struggling with and overcome by at times in your past life. God's not going to allow you to be tempted more than you can handle, more than you are able. But with each temptation, will make the way of escape. You can live the Christian life. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I love this verse because it helps me realize what God expects of me. And that is, he expects me to live my life as a Christian one day at a time. Just one day at a time. Now, whenever you're thinking about that 26-mile marathon, you're looking at the whole race, the whole big race, and you're thinking, no. But what if someone said, do you think you can run 10 yards? All right, I have to train for that one too. But I can run 10 yards, I can do that. I can handle that small amount. I can do it. Well, when you're running a marathon, guess what? You just keep running 10 yards more and more. And more. Think of the race of Christianity this way. One day. Can you live the life of a Christian one day? Can you be faithful to God this day? Now, if you don't know how to do this, I'm going to explain to you real quickly how this is done. In the morning when you get up, before you rush off to work, pray. Begin your day with prayer. As you go through the day and you're facing the different situations and responsibilities, ask yourself this question: how does God want me to deal with this situation? From your knowledge of the scriptures, answer that question. And whatever the answer is, do it in those situations. If during the day, at any time you find yourself being tempted, and unfortunately you give in to the temptation and you sin, what you do at that moment is in godly sorrow, take the sin to God, beg for forgiveness from it, get up, get untangled, and get back into the race. At the close of your day, before you go to sleep, the last thing you do before you close your eyes is you pray to your God to forgive you of any sins again you may have committed that day. Do you realize what you just did? You just ran the race of Christianity one day. Do it the next day. and the next day, and the next day, one day at a time, just one day at a time. You can do that. One day at a time. And the days will turn into weeks, weeks into months, and before you know it, your life is like a vapor. It's here for a little while, then it's gone. Every person who finishes this race is going to finish it because they ran it one day at a time in service to God. They were watching and they were ready that day as if that's the last day of the race. But think of it this way. Can you do it one day? Yes, you can, can't you? If you can do it one day, you can finish it. You can finish it. Because you're running it just one day at a time anyhow. Hebrews says in chapter 12 and 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This verse is describing repentance, if you will. There are weights. There are things that are hanging on to us that you cannot run the race with. There is sin that's got you entangled. You have to lay aside the weights. You have to get untangled. And then you can run the race. No one said repentance is easy. No one did. Repentance is an ongoing process, as you're going to be seeing from our lesson this morning. But to begin the race of Christianity, you have to put off the old man. You have to put off the sins. You have to lay aside the sins and any weight that is entangling you and keeping you from being able to run. Anyone, anything that's a hindrance from running, lay it aside. Let it go. Let it go. And begin the race by coming to God in repentance. Hebrews 11 now says, chapter 29 and 30, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reason I want to put this particular verse in here is because sometimes people, when they think about the life of a Christian, they think, man, that's tough. That's hard to do. The truth of the matter is, the truth will set you free. God's word, folks, is not chains holding you down and keeping you from having a good life. God's word is showing you the way to live your life, to get the most out of it, to enjoy it to the fullest. It's not a burden to be a Christian. Serving God is not a heavy yoke. It is the way we're meant to live. And you're going to be finding that when you live this way, your life will be blessed. And you will avoid a whole lot of unnecessary suffering. You want me to tell you who has a hard life? The person who's not in the race. Who's still being drugged down by weight and entangled in sin. And it's totally ruining and destroying their life. Oh, there are consequences to sin, folks. But there's blessings in serving God. Revelation 22, 17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Do you realize this is an invitation? God wants you to begin the race. Holy Spirit wants you to begin the race. Christ wants you to begin the race. Those that are already in the race are encouraging you. Come on, get in the race. Take the water of life freely. Run it. Begin it. Finish it. You can do it. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The reason I put this particular verse in here is because I'm wanting you to realize this is how you began the race. You see, earlier we were talking about back in Hebrews, chapter 12 and 1, you lay aside all the weights in the sin which so easily entangles you. As I told you, that's describing repentance. Look at the verse here again. Repent. There it is. And let every one of you be baptized. When you are baptized, all the sins that are staining your soul are washed away. You are forgiven. You are beginning the race of Christianity when you obey the gospel. Again in chapter 2, verse 41, and those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That day, 3,000 souls began the race. The way you begin the race of Christianity is by obeying the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But do not be so intimidated over the magnitude of the race that you think, I can't finish it, so there's no reason to even begin it. I assure you, you can finish it if you run it one day at a time. One day at a time. You can do it. You can finish the race. You can go to heaven. You can make it. Now let's talk about the middle of the race. Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 14 is where I want to start this part of the sermon. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. So he hadn't got there yet. He's in the middle of the race. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you this question. How many of you can change what you did yesterday? Daniel? Nope. Can you change your past? Nope. What's done is done. And the sins I've committed against my God, I did them. You cannot change the past. But you can be forgiven of it. To where everything you have said and done, even though your sins is as scarlet, they can be white as snow. The power of the blood of the Christ can cleanse you of all unrighteousness. To where you and I who have sinned can stand before God Almighty, pure and blameless and holy. That's the beauty of Christianity. Forget the things that are behind. Luke 17:32. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. Everybody knows what that means. Don't look back. You know, whenever you're running a physical race, you don't look back. Anybody that's ever run track knows what happens when you look back, don't you? You look back, and all of a sudden, whoop! Down on the ground and a coach is screaming at you. You never look back. You learn from the past. You learn from it so that you understand where Satan has attacked you in the past. He's going to be hitting you again in the future. But you have to be willing to forgive yourself when God forgives you. When you make peace with God, make peace with yourself. And then turn your focus to where you are going. Do not allow what was done to you and what you did in your past to poison your present. To where it totally overwhelms and destroys and poisons your life in the now. Learn from it. And maybe even possibly help others get out of it. But look at the goal that is ahead. Look at the finish line. And press on and press on and press on. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 through 27. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Here again, Paul is using the metaphors of the race. And he talks about how we are running this race not for a perishable crown. We are running this race for an imperishable crown. We are running this race to be with God in heaven. That's what's at the end of the finish line. Is God and our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life in heaven with them. That's the imperishable crown. But look what Paul says in 27. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Anybody that's any kind of athlete has to discipline themselves to continue going on even though they are hurting. You see, when you run a physical race, guess what? Your feet are going to hurt. And sometimes you have pains in your side. And sometimes it's just a struggle to breathe. You don't stop running because your feet hurt. You don't stop running because your side hurts. You don't stop running because you're out of breath. You've disciplined yourself not to quit, but to keep on going even though you're hurting. Those of you that are in the middle of the race, there are going to be times when you are hurting, when you've gone through difficult physical trials, when you've gone through difficult emotional trials, when you've lost battles spiritually. Do not quit running. Do not quit running the race because of the trials and the suffering and temptations of life. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. One of the biggest mistakes you can make in life as a Christian is this. Do you ever think, I've grown spiritually enough and I know enough and everything is good enough right now, I can put my life as a Christian on cruise control. And just kind of cruise and not really think about it anymore and everything's going to be all right. I ain't got to worry about it. I got it. I got this. You never stop growing. You do not put your relationship with God on cruise control and become satisfied with who you are and where you are spiritually now. Where'd it go? 1 Timothy 4:7-8. But reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and for that which is to come. Remember I was telling you earlier about the yoke of Christ? How it's light and it's easy. Christianity is the way we're meant to live to get the most out of life. And when you're following his commandments by faith, as the text says, it's profitable for the life that now is, and of that which is to come. You get the most out of this life, and then you get to go be with God in the end. But look at the very beginning of this. Exercise yourself toward godliness. Oh, the word exercise. Come by my house. Oh, usually February the 1st, and I'll have some exercise equipment. I'll sell you real cheap. How many times have you seen somebody do this? In the new year, the new resolution, I'm going to exercise. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to lose weight. And you go in there and you hit it and you're going good. And you even go out and buy equipment. Oh, bought equipment. That really is going to make sure you do it, right? How many of you got clothes hanging on that equipment? Or stuck over in a corner? Or you finally just moved it out of the house and then just tried to give it away, give it to Goodwill? Yeah, that's the way it is sometimes with physical exercise. It's also that way with spiritual exercise, though. We can become comfortable. We can think we're strong enough. We don't need to worry. We don't need to worry at all. We're not going to fall. We're going to make it. Everything's fine. If you're thinking that way, you better look out and take heed lest you fall. If you ever think you're too strong enough for Satan to tempt you and attack you and for you to be completely lost, he's got you where he wants you. And he's going to hit you soon. And don't be surprised when you find yourself entangled in sin again. We need to exercise spiritually. You see these professional athletes who are in great physical shape. You know what they're doing this week? Exercising. You know what they're going to do next week? Exercise. And exercise. And exercise. How do Christians exercise? All right, Jonathan, you're going to recognize the text. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. These are the Christian exercises. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. The knowledge, self-control, and self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness. The godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the Christian exercises. You work at strengthening your faith, which is the very beginning point and source of it all. And then to that faith you add virtue, moral excellence. You grow, and you grow, and you grow. Let me ask you. You see these football and basketball players, and they walk out there, and all of a sudden you look at their arms, and you go, man, his arm is bigger than my leg. How'd they get that way? I bet you they did that in about a couple of weeks, don't you? No. More like a couple of decades. Disciplining themselves to realize, I've got to do this in order to finish the race physically or whatever task it is I'm trying to do physically. I have to exercise and exercise and exercise. It's just part of my life. We have to exercise and exercise and exercise and exercise and understand it's just part of our life. We exercise ourselves to grow in knowledge of the Word of God, to grow in our self-control, to grow in our perseverance, in our godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And after a period of time, notice the phrase here, if these things are yours and abound, that's the goal. To where you have self-control in you and abounding. You have the knowledge of God's Word in you and abounding. All these Christian attributes in you and abounding. He says in verse 9 and 10, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, look at this now, you will never stumble. For those of us that are in the middle of the race, we need to be working and exercising ourselves spiritually, seeing where we are weak and working at it diligently. He begins the verse by saying diligent, and he closes it by saying diligent. That means you hang in there and you do it and you do it and you do it and you do it and you never stop doing it. You never stop trying to be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 now says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. The text here is describing a reality that sometimes happens. And that is sometimes, unfortunately, those that are running the race do become entangled in sin. It's not on the sermon outline. I should have put it there, but it's not. 2 Peter chapter 2, 20. If after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are again entangled and overcome, the latter end is worse for you than the beginning. It would be better for you not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to you. We learned earlier back in Hebrews 12 and 1 that when you become a Christian, you lay aside the weights, and listen to this phrase, and the sin which so easily entangles or ensnares you. Just because you've obeyed the gospel doesn't mean that sin is not easy to become entangled in. And if you find yourself becoming entangled in it and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. If you have fallen and you're on the ground entangled, sometimes, brethren, we need to come to our brothers and sisters' aid and help them get untangled. That's what it's talking about over in Hebrews 3:13 when it talks about exhorting one another daily. What is called today? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Someone is entangled in sin and their heart has become hardened and they need help. They're on the ground. If a fellow brother or sister is entangling on the ground, all of us stop and pick them up and help them get untangled and get back into the race. That's brotherly love. Helping people get up and get back into the race. Hebrews says in chapter 10, 36 and 39, we have need of endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Here again, the Hebrew writer tells us we need endurance. We need persistence. There's going to be trials. Don't allow the trials of life and the pain of life to cause you to throw up your hands and quit running the race. You are going to lose spiritual battles. That's the cold, hard reality of our life. You are going to give in to temptations at times, and you are going to find yourself on the ground entangled in sin. Satan wants you to stay on the ground. Stay there. Do not get up. Do not try to run anymore. Get up. Get untangled. Get back into the race. Get back into the race. And start pressing forward. Anybody and everybody who finishes this race of Christianity is going to finish it because we endured. We were persistent. We didn't allow the emotional or the physical or the spiritual trials of life to cause us to throw up our hands and quit. Because if you throw up your hands and quit, you are overcome. You're overcome. And you're staying on the ground. And it would have been better for you if you would have never even begun the race. Because you're going to end up in hell knowing that you knew the way out. And you were going the way out. But you quit running the race. Now the end of the race. Hebrews 12:12-13. Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. The hands which hang down, the feeble knees. I'm sure you've seen people that when they begin the race, their arms are pumping, they look good and strong, and then by the end of the race, their arms look like macaroni noodles. Just kind of hanging there, dangling. And they're kind of wobbling in their knees. When you see someone with their arms dangling down and they're running the race, and they're not really running, they're kind of just wobbling, that tells you, man, they're wiped out. But you know what they do, even though their arms are dangling and their legs are hurting? They keep running. They persevere, they endure all the way to the close of the run of the race. When you get older, your body gets physically weaker. I love the phrase over in Ecclesiastes 12, describing the days of darkness, when he says, and the grasshopper is a burden. Now, do understand the meaning of that, don't you? How many of you, whenever you have a grasshopper land on your back, go, oh, get it off? No, you thump that thing off. The idea of the grasshopper being a burden is something that is usually easy, light. Don't even think about it. Difficult to do now. Your body is weak. And it's harder to do things at one time in your life you found easy to do. And your emotions become more difficult to rein in sometimes. Run the race all the way to the finish. Do not stop running the race because of the emotional and physical pains of life. Hebrews 12 again says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then again, the next verse, he says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus, looking to him as the ultimate example of running the race, he could have called 12 legions, not 12, 10 legions of angels, at any time, stop the whole thing. He said over in the Gospel of John, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. Nobody could kill Jesus if he didn't want it to happen. But what he was doing was being obedient to the will of the Father in heaven. They spit him on him, and he kept going. They beat him. They scourged him like nobody has ever been beaten before in the world. And he kept going. They nailed him to the cross, driving spikes through his hands and feet. And he kept going. They said, if you're the Christ, come down from the cross, we'll believe. He could have stopped it. He kept going. He ran the race all the way to the close. And you know what he said? It is finished. We must run the race all the way to the finish line. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7 through 8, for I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Here the Apostle Paul is realizing that his time of his departure is at hand. He's going to die soon. And as he sits back and looks back upon his life and the race that he has run, he is able to say, I have finished the race. My brothers and sisters, finish the race. You're going to go through trials. No, that's coming. You're going to suffer. No, it's coming. You're going to fall and stumble sometime. No, it's coming. Do not allow the physical, emotional, spiritual trials of your life to ever cause you to quit running the race. One day at a time, one step at a time, press on forward. The days will turn into weeks and the weeks into years, and before you know it, you will be in the last mile of the way. And even though your body and mind may be struggling, press on all the way to the very close of the race. Hebrews 3:14 says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to what? The end. The end. Matthew 24:13, but he who endures to the end, I'll be saved. You do not receive the promise, you do not receive the prize, the crown of righteousness, until you finish the race. You must cross the line by dying in Christ. That's when you finish the race. Well, let me ask you, where are you? At what stage of the race are you at right now? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you haven't even begun the race. You're not even in the race. If that's describing you, I want to encourage you to realize you can finish this race. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond which you are able. You can repent, and you can follow by faith. You can run the race of Christianity one day at a time, the close of your life. You can do that. Not be so overwhelmed by the magnitude of the race that you will not obey the gospel. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to openly confess your faith and repent, putting off the weights and the sin that you're entangled in, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ, and the blood of Christ will be for the remission of your sins. For those of us that are in the race already, I want to encourage you, finish the race. If you realize I have become entangled in sin that it's so easy to become entangled in, and I am on the ground, I have fallen, I've quit running the race. Our God is grace and merciful. He is willing to forgive us. Get up, get untangled, and get back into the race. Take the sin to God. Pray for forgiveness of it, and get back into the race, running and pressing on toward the goal by faith. For those of you that are older, I encourage you, finish the race. Finish the race. Even though your body and emotions may be struggling, finish the race. The people who do finish the race ahead of us, we rejoice for them. To be with the Lord is far better. Let's make sure we finish the race ourselves so that we too can be with the Lord and receive the crown of righteousness. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know and stand and sing songs.